The year 1933. A young man by the name of Louis Meyer races against the odds for a grueling 4 hours and 48 minutes, finally pulling out his second Indy victory. 3 years later, in 1936, Louis returns, this time starting back in 28th position. 4 hours and 35 minutes later, he picks off the entire field for the win with an unheard-of average speed of 109 miles an hour. This victory made Louis Meyer the first three-time winner of the Indy 500. And though this feat will eternally preserve his name in the annals of Indy history, he will be remembered for something even greater. It was Louis who started one of the oldest, most treasured traditions in racing, the Victory Lane bottle of milk. Louis said he loved milk at home and thought it would be just great to have some after the race. He was right. So our young Louis proved something else to the world that day, that there's only one thing better than the taste of victory, the taste of an ice-cold glass of milk. Help yourself. This proud tradition brought to you by the American Dairy Association of Indiana.
The voice of Indy 500 coverage. Radio Indiana. WIBC, Indianapolis.
This year's Indy 500 winner, Buddy Lazier, 65 degrees, cloudy skies in Indianapolis. I'm Joe Wambach. This is the 3 o'clock report. Buddy Lazier has won the 1996 Indy 500. Here's the final lap.
Buddy Lazier is in control, smoothly through turn number two. Jones quickly behind, but Lazier in control, heading to three.
A half lap to go, indeed. It's Buddy Lazier's race to win or lose. And now, about 30, 35, 40 yards. Nothing between first and second as they head to turn four.
Buddy Lazier, the final turn of the day. He has it made. He's just got to keep it between the white lines. Here to call the finish, Bob Jenkins.
The 1996 Indianapolis 500 is won by Buddy Lazier.
Lazier winning the race by less than 1 second over Davy Jones. The only major crash coming right at the end of the race just as Lazier crossed the finish line. Alessandro San Pedro apparently suffering a broken leg in that. The U.S. 500 is resumed at Michigan International Speedway. It was stopped after nine cars were involved in a crash. 26 of the 27 cars were on the track for the restart. Now, word just in, rescue workers have found the cockpit voice recorder of Value Jet Flight 592. A spokesman for the National Transportation Safety Board says the recorder is being sent to Washington for analysis. Again, rescue workers have now found the all-important cockpit voice recorder of Value Jet Flight 592. There's mounting evidence of a fire on board that Value Jet plane that crashed in the Florida Everglades. Federal investigators say they found more damage of a fire in the forward cargo hold area. That's where the more than 100 oxygen canisters were being carried. Three young people have been critically wounded in an early morning drive-by shooting.
19-year-old Jason Hornsby and 20-year-olds Alan Hodges and Scott Ford were attending a graduation party at a home in the 5600 block of Greenfield Avenue. Indianapolis police say there was an argument and a struggle for a gun among some party guests. Several of the guests left but returned 10 minutes later, and shots were fired from their car into the party crowd on the front porch. No arrests have been made, but police say they do have the names of the suspects. The three men shot were taken to the hospital in critical condition. Scott Ford has been upgraded to satisfactory. Sharon Alseth, WIBC News.
Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres is defending his peacemaking with the Arabs. Peres and his challenger, Benjamin Netanyahu, appeared in a televised debate 3 days before the election. Netanyahu says Israelis don't feel safe. Turn the voters off and they'll tune out. That's the warning from Democratic Senator Joseph Lieberman as the Clinton and Dole campaigns air spots that attack each other's character. Lieberman spoke on Fox News Sunday. Cloudy skies, 65 degrees. WIBC News time is 3:03. Traffic and weather coming up.
They're running over the American dream, laying down tracks on working people's backs.
Folks, we're the Steelworkers Union, and we're talking tires with the people that make them at Bridgestone Firestone.
I went on strike to stand up for my kids, to stand up for your kids and all of our kids. So when they get grown, they can have a better life.
I was on sick leave. They cut me off. 6 months I couldn't work. Cost me my marriage. And me and my 13-year-old daughter now live together as a family.
I heard that what they're doing to us is illegal in Japan. It just shows that they really don't care about the American worker.
I tell the American consumer that's going to buy a Bridgestone or Firestone product, this time it's my family. Next time it's going to be yours.
If we don't buy them, they can't sell them.
Firestone and Bridgestone, you wouldn't do it in your own home. Don't do it in my home.
team works like clockwork. Every second, every hour, every day. When you need to know, 1070 WIBC.
With WIBC traffic, here's Big John Gillis.
Joey, if you dropped an ant farm and looked at it while you were standing there, that would be the scene around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. People just scurrying in every direction, blocking all the roads, heading for the buses, the cabs, their cars, wherever they happen to be going. But doing it safely, that's the good news. Please do pay attention as you leave the track and as you drive away from it especially, and please stay tuned. In the meantime, once you make it to the bigger roads, except for the construction zones, you should have no problem. More about those coming up. Big John Gillis, WIBC Race Day Traffic.
The WIBC three-day forecast this afternoon, mostly cloudy. Chance of thunderstorms late, high 70. Tonight, thunderstorms likely mainly after midnight, a low of 58. Memorial Day, occasional showers and thunderstorms, high 72. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 76. At your official weather station, cloudy skies, 65 degrees. Humidity, 84%. Winds out of the east at 5. Barometric pressure, 29.91 and falling. Repeating the hour's top stories, Buddy Lazier has won the 1996 Indy 500, and searchers have found the cockpit voice recorder from Value Jet 592. I'm Joe Wambach, WIBC News. Next news at 3:30.
This is Donald Davidson, and the race is over, but we're not done yet. We're going to do an extended version of the Talk of Gasoline Alley, where we're going to bring you updates on the final results and check up on a few stories and find out some of the things that happened today and see if we can get some different opinions on what maybe some of the fans saw from the grandstands. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock, and we invite you to give us a call. 571-WIBC is the number to call. It's 1-800-571-WIBC if you're outside of the Indianapolis area. We'll take a break and come back and start with the program.
Car number 12, a solid red streak. Buzz Calkins at the helm. 230, put him in the fourth row. We wish him the best for his ride at the Speedway show. He'll make it all worthwhile after 500 miles. Buzz Calkins, the driver that's got everybody talking. Buzz Calkins, keep on winning, never be forgotten.
This Saturday's Hoosier Lotto jackpot is an estimated $10 million. The Hoosier Lottery, giving you the green.
The Hoosier Lottery gives you the green. Buzz Calkins, keep on winning, never be forgotten.
They're running over the American dream, laying down tracks on working people's backs. They wanna be called the American Tire, but you can't tell it by the people they fire. Break the law. Breaking it here is a full-time game. They're running over the American dream, laying down tracks on working people's backs. Bridgestone and Firestone, you wouldn't do it in your own home. Don't do it in my home. They're running over the American dream, putting down treads on working people's heads. The tires are stamped with USA, but they want the workers to have no say. The workers want
afternoon, everybody. The Indianapolis 500 is complete now, and we are back in the garage area. The Ari Lyandike team, Fred Treadway, the entrant, along with Jonathan Bird and the Bryant Heating and Cooling people, and we want to thank them for allowing us to be here for the month and certainly for this post-race show, which will go until 6 o'clock. The crews are now coming back to the garage area. Heidi Shimatsuda is doing an interview right across the way a few yards from where we are right now with some people from Japan. And we're looking around to see who else we might see. But anyway, the cars will be rolled back here pretty soon. And we're going to be here for 2 hours and 50 minutes, and we're going to be entertaining your calls. In fact, we've got a caller on the line right now. Let's go to Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Hi, Donald. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I just want to give a couple comments. I listen to it on the radio. I live here in Indy.
Uh-huh.
And I'll watch it tonight on TV, but it sounded great. It sounded like a well-run race and everything. And I had ESPN on for the start of the U.S. 500. And I'm not this way, but I had to chuckle to myself a little bit.
Tell me about that.
Well, basically what it looked like, I'm not even sure whoever it was in the middle of row one came down a little bit on the pole setter there and just took everybody into the wall, and everybody crashed in behind them. But
they did start three abreast?
Yeah, they started three abreast.
And it was the front row that started it?
It was the middle of the front row.
I'll be darned.
And, you know, I hate to see that, but still, you know, the comments that were made in the paper and on the press and stuff, you know, I think it was Michael Andretti said he would be scared to be around these guys here today and stuff. And
yeah, with them being the 33 greatest drivers in the world and everything.
Well, ESPN even made the comment. They said this is the most qualified group.
Uh-huh.
And that was before the start.
Yeah.
So they didn't really have too much to say after that. You know, I hate to see anybody wreck or anything, but still.
Well, so then did they restart with backup cars, or what happened?
They restarted with backup cars, and there was one.
That would.
I think it was a guy in the middle, row one, is the only one that wasn't able to restart.
Okay, now that wouldn't happen here, because once the once you pushed off, that's your car for the race. And, I mean, if you can run back and keep crashing cars and running back to the garage area and getting another one, I guess that's fine. But that doesn't seem to be fair to those people that were not involved in the
exactly.
crash. But anyway, we'll have to see how that one works out.
So with the rules, with USAC rules, if they would take, well, like Guerrero's crash.
Yes.
On the warm-up parade lap.
Oh, yes.
Years ago,
uh-huh.
Would, if it would have been red flagged, would he have been able to get his backup car and put it to back?
Well, I suppose so, except that that doesn't happen here, and I don't think that it would ever happen here. As we hear Ari Leyendijk's car, I'm not sure if that's the car that was in the race or if that's the backup that's being fired up right now. But do we know if that's the backup? That is the one that was in the race. So evidently they had a problem that they're trying to figure out right now to fire the engine up. But anyway,
well, maybe if they hurry, they can run up there and beat those guys.
Well, anyway, no, I wanted to come back and comment on what you said about Guerrero, because I remember in 1986 when Tom Sneva spun off while trying to heat up the tires right before the step, backup car ready to come out, and the official said, no, absolutely no, you can't do that. But there was a race up in last summer, Toronto or somewhere. It's one of those things where they run around and there's a bunch of concrete barriers and you run over manhole covers and each other's wheels. And they had a crash.
Up around Mossport?
Mossport is a proper road course. It was one of those things where they run them through the streets last year I watched. And they had a crash where they tried to stuff a bunch of cars down into an area where there was hardly enough room for one. There was a chicane. And there were several cars all collided with each other, and Gilles de Ferran, I remember, was crashed quite badly, and the race had even started, and they let him restart with a backup car, and that doesn't seem fair to me. I think that once you've presented yourself on the starting grid, that's the car that you're going to run, and if it won't fire or you crash on the pace lap, you're out. I don't think you should keep running back to the garage area and have unlimited racing cars back there.
Well, see, they even had a couple rule changes for today. It's the first time I've heard of this. Is they're basically on the restarts after a yellow.
Yeah.
They're starting the cars now.
Oh, I saw that.
Up at Michigan.
Yeah, like NASCAR.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's different on the pits. If you're on the lead lap, you get to come in after one lap. And the cars that's behind that get to come in after two laps.
Yeah, well, I guess...
It's all different.
I guess they can do whatever they want. But
so,
I
got a question for you. One more question.
Okay.
By the time Penske's ever decide that they're wrong and they come back, they got to take a refresher's test?
No, I don't think so. But,
okay, have a good day.
All right, we thank you very much indeed. And let's go back to the phones. And Brian, go ahead, please.
Yes, I had a chance to go to the race this morning and just decided not to
mess with the crowd. It was probably about the first time in 10 years I hadn't been, and I just wanted to say that WIBC did a great, wonderful job of covering the race. I mean, I was jumping up and down here in my living room, and it was really informative, and I really, really enjoyed the coverage.
Well, thank you very much. WIBC carries the race. In fact, it's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network that presented it. And if you think that was a bunch of hype and that it was manufactured excitement, then all you need to do is to watch the when it runs tonight, or if you watch the tapes in future days, and you'll see that it was very, very open, very exciting, very, very entertaining. The people loved it. And I don't think there's any problem where the main attention of the world is. I was wondering about what kind of a crowd might show up today. And the place was packed. They were standing. It felt like May. They were cheering. They cheered the pit stops. Everything that happened, it was a very, very appreciative audience.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself for not going now, but I'll enjoy it tonight on TV.
Well, okay, and I would imagine that a few other people may feel the same as well. It's over and done with now, and maybe we can look forward to next year. And as far as the month of May was concerned here, it was rather a strange month, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more, but most certainly with the race now, it was very open, very entertaining, a lot of action, and the people loved it, and I think they really got their money's worth. Anyway, we'll be here for another 2¾ hours to take your calls on WIBC. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Donald, a quick question that I would like to ask you, but ask you not to answer it now. Just think about it for a while, and if you need some filler material, it might be fun. You know a lot of the guys who did go to Michigan today, and what I'd like to know is, when you sit down and start remembering what's happened here and there, what kinds of things will you be wondering about up there? You didn't get a chance to watch it all, so I'd just be interested in what catches your attention about that other race. We'll hear about this one some more. Traffic real quick. McFarland, Southport, Brookville, German Church. Otherwise, be patient. Everybody's trying to get home safely, and we're trying to help. Big John Gillis, WIBC Traffic.
It's the new McDonald's Arch Deluxe, a juicy quarter-pound burger with lettuce and tomato, peppered bacon, and a special chef sauce. You gotta try it. The McDonald's Arch Deluxe. Participation may vary.
Can't sleep in the heat? Call Bryant to the rescue.
Rescue me. I'm burning hot. Rescue me. My hair is really shot. Can't you see? I'm on fire.
Modern Heating and Cooling wants to help you get a jump on the summer heat. Planning ahead now will save time and money later. Right now, Modern will replace your air conditioner with a Bryant high-efficiency air conditioner and a free 5-year parts and labor protection plan. Bryant builds the highest quality air conditioning systems around. No ifs, ands, or buts. And best of all, they're made right here in Indiana. Call Modern today for a free estimate or service on your old unit.
Come on, Bryant, I'll rescue me.
Call Modern Heating and Cooling. 4Modern, that's 4MODERN, for your new Bryant air conditioner with a free 5-year parts and labor protection plan.
At Tom Wood Ford, their Ford-trained mechanics fix it right the first time and on time. You're invited to find out why the service and parts department at Tom Wood Ford is one of the largest in the Midwest. One reason is Tom Wood Ford's service department is open till 9 Monday through Thursday and all day on Saturday. The extended service hours let them give you an appointment that fits your schedule instead of forcing you to fit theirs. At Tom Wood Ford, when they're done with your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury car or truck, they don't just hand you a bill. They give you an explanation of the work they did, warranty coverage, and all charges. Keeping you informed isn't just a matter of quality care standards. It's common courtesy. Come see the difference quality care makes at Tom Wood Ford. Tom Wood Ford, 96th and Keystone.
As a worldwide Olympic sponsor, Xerox knows what it takes to get to the Olympics. Commitment. The same kind of a commitment you can depend on from Xerox. At Xerox of Indiana, we take your business and our promises very seriously. Hi, I'm Jack Thompson for Xerox of Indiana. How many times have you heard promises from office equipment dealers? Either there were strings attached or some small type at the bottom of a contract turned a guarantee into a loophole. When we give you an estimated time of arrival, we mean it and we keep it. When we give you a price for a piece of equipment, we fully disclose all the terms and conditions up front, so you won't be surprised by a special cancellation fee or other hidden charges at the end of a lease. In fact, we stand behind every product and service we offer so completely, we back it with the exclusive Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee, the one that lets you decide when you're satisfied, so your satisfaction is guaranteed. For more information about any quality Xerox product or service, call us at 875-6556. That's 875-6556. We'll call you back right away, and that's our commitment to you and a promise from me and Xerox of Indiana.
870-WIBC. You're listening to the extended drive home from the racetrack version of the Talk of Gasoline Alley. Let's check in with Joe Wombach with a look at what's coming up at 3:30.
Right, thanks, Donald. Well, we'll be talking about what you're talking about. Of course, that great race out of the Indy Motor Speedway, and also searchers have now found the all-important cockpit voice recorder from ValuJet Flight 592. Details of these stories and more coming up at 3:30, Donald.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe, and let's go to the phones and Dan. Yes, go ahead, Dan.
Okay, it's a great race. Me and my buddy Kurt were out there in the turn one. Saw some good action. Got one question. How often in the history of the 500 has the white and the green flag dropped at the same time? And was ironic how quickly they cleaned up that spill to get the that last lap in.
Yes, I thought we were going to finish under yellow. The answer is that's the first time that's ever happened here, where the white and the green came out together. The closest that we have was 1986, 10 years ago this week, where we thought that we were going to see it finish under the yellow then, and after Ari Leyendijk had spun, and there was a restart, and that's the one where Bobby Rahal was able to out-drag Kevin Cogan down the main straightaway, and that was the green flag coming out with two laps to go rather than one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
All right.
We thank you very much indeed for the call. Let's go back to the phones, and Brad, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. First of all, very good broadcast.
Thank you. It was fun to be a part of it.
And second of all, I will keep my opinions of the U.S. 500 and their wonderful start to that myself.
Okay.
And I was just curious, let's say in like the last 20, 25 years, what's the smallest number of finishers? I noticed there were only 12 today.
Yeah, actually, there were less than that. I think there was only 8 came across the line because of the accident at the finish. I'd have to go and check the thing here. The final box score is showing several cars running, and we know that they did not complete the final lap. But the fewest number was 7 in 1966, and that was a year where there was it always ends in sixes. Have you noticed that?
Huh.
It was in 1966 that there was an accident at the start that took out 11 cars. It was red flagged, and then they had to restart, and with only 22 cars, and there were 7, actually, that took the flag at the end. Along the same lines, not really along the same lines, because it was different circumstances. In 1951, of the 33 starters, there were only 8 running at the end, and no more than 1 was taken out in any one incident.
Huh.
But 7 was the number in 66, so that would be the fewest.
Well, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed for the call, and we appreciate your comments. Let's go to the phones, and Ron, please. Go ahead, Ron.
A comment and a question.
Yes, sir.
One, first of all, I thought the race was excellent. One of the most exciting races I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for Buddy Lazier, especially with what happened to him in Phoenix. It seemed like to me that there were more veterans wrecking than there were rookies.
I hadn't really noticed that, but it was wide open. It was very exciting, and the Buddy Lazier story is just outstanding. We're kind of looking around to see if we can get a hold of some drivers to do interviews and so on and so forth, and that's why we're just a little preoccupied in making the answers, but we'll certainly comment on that a little later and maybe do a Buddy Lazier profile later in the program. But we thank you very much indeed for your... Oh, yes, you got another comment?
One question.
Yeah.
Okay, as I understand it, next year, everybody at the IRL is running stock blocks.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, if by chance IRL and CART get things resolved, then if they want to run at Indy, then they have to run stock blocks too?
They would have to run the same specifications, yeah. The organizers set the specifications, and if you want to come and participate in the race, you have to build a car to those specs.
Okay. So, but CART will not be running stock blocks next year.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Okay.
I don't know that they know what they're going to do.
All right. I just want to get that clarified. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's go to the phones and Doris. Yes, go ahead, Doris.
Yes, the race was wonderful, and I wanted to hear, was Roberto Guerrero all right?
Yes, he was not injured. Alessandro Zampedre, as we understand it, has a broken leg, but we're waiting for an update on that. But that's not good news, but it is good news because it looked like a major accident. As far as we know, I don't believe that Roberto had any injury at all, but their garage is right down from us, and we'll go check that out in a few moments.
Well, thank you, because they're all great, but, you know, he's just a doll, so yeah. Hope he's all right.
All right.
Thank you.
We thank you very much indeed for the call, and we'll be back and take some more calls. 571-WIBC is the number to call. It's 1-800-571-WIBC. If you're outside of the Indianapolis area, let's take a break here, and then we'll be back and take some more of your calls right after this.
Hey, race fans. Ed Sorensen here from WRTV6. Now, you may have listened to the race on the radio, but tonight you can see it from start to finish only on RTV6. Beginning at 7 o'clock, we will bring you ABC's complete race broadcast. Then, Ari Leyendijk and ABC's Paul Page join me for a special post-race show, where you'll also hear from the winner of this year's race. So, tonight at 7, watch the race. Then stay tuned for Trackside 6, Indy 500 wrap-up on WRTV6, the only place to see the race.
And now it's time to Ask Rosie with Rosie O'Donnell. Jen from Miami writes,
Dear Rosie, will your show be a fabulous mix of comedy, celebrity guests, live music, and more fun than daytime's ever seen? Yes. All that and no cholesterol.
And Kathleen from Modesto writes,
Dear Rosie, do you have to be smart to watch your new show? No, Kathleen, you don't have to be smart. You just have to be home.
Finally, something different in the daytime. The Rosie O'Donnell Show, coming to television June 10th.
The Rosie O'Donnell Show, premiering June 10th on WRTV6.
Now let's go upstairs with a look at traffic. Here's Big John Gillis. A
couple of areas to watch because of accidents would include Brookville and German Church, also McFarland and Southport. Hit a person injured out. Well, near the speedway, 4600 West 16th at Brickyard Plaza, so you'll see some emergency gear working there. Wherever you're heading, just please be patient, be careful, make sure you have a sober person behind the wheel, and follow the directions of the law enforcement person you're passing. They are going to do their best to steer you out as quick and safe as possible. Me too, Big John Gillis, WIBC Race Day Traffic.
Fire up your Indy TV for the complete story of this year's Indianapolis 500. Tonight at 6 on Indy TV, Channel 23.
It's been a long month filled with the hope and courage of brave competitors. Now join them as they reap the rewards of their efforts. This is Bob Jenkins, the radio voice of the 500, inviting you to be part of the 1996 Indianapolis 500 Victory Banquet. Join me live Monday night at 8 as Indy TV brings you all the festivities. The Victory Banquet, live on Indy TV, Channel 23.
Groove and Retro with Mike Carroll and the rest of the gang on the Memorial Day Brady Bunch Marathon.
I love it.
You're about to see the hottest set of wheels inside Indianapolis.
It's just going to be great.
Where did they get those costumes?
All the laughs with all your favorite episodes back to back.
It's really far out.
Revisit the family you've grown to love with 14 hilarious episodes.
Hi, I'm Florence Henderson. Join me for the Memorial Day Brady Bunch Marathon this Monday, beginning at 9, right here on Indy TV.
What's that noise? Where's the music coming from?
We're Xing out the prices.
For H.H. Gregg's Memorial Day sale?
Mm-hmm. For savings they'll never forget.
What kind of savings?
Can't say.
You mean the prices are so low we can't even advertise them?
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Look at that crowd. I thought everybody was off to the races.
Racing around H.H. Gregg.
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Well, today and tomorrow, we've made our low prices even lower at H.H. Gregg. So you get instant rebates on the spot on great main brand PCs, appliances, home, and car electronics.
How low can you go?
That's the biggest conga line I've ever seen.
The greatest spectacle in raving.
About what?
The savings, you fool.
How low can you go?
We've X'd out the prices. You get instant rebates today and tomorrow at H.H. Gregg.
WIBC.
We're back with the talk of Gasoline Alley, and we're going to have Roberto Guerrero join us in just a few moments. He is standing right by us, and in fact is surrounded by people who are doing interviews with him. And we'll just take a second of his time here, and we think he's winding up a question, if we can get to him in just a few moments. Okay, Roberto, can we... All right. We appreciate you coming by, and I'm sorry that it's under these circumstances. As the race was winding down, I was fantasizing about interviewing you here as the winning driver, maybe in an hour or two's time, and then it all came to a sudden halt, but at least you got fifth place. But you were, I think you were going for fourth or third, and you got pinched.
The problem we had on the kind of panic we had in the last pit stop with the fire, or with the fear of fire, I got totally disconnected. I was being pulled out of the car, so I had no radios, and so we had no idea. I mean, I didn't know if I was racing those guys or not. As it happened, John told me that we were a lap behind the guy in front and a lap ahead of the guy behind, so I could have put it in third gear and going slowly and still would have finished in the same position, but I didn't know. So it makes you realize how valuable it is having a radio. So
when there was the pit fire, and the way it was described, it sounded maybe a little more dramatic than it was. I mean, it wasn't a major fire, I don't think.
It wasn't, and the car never actually caught fire. It was a faulty fuel, nozzle, and there was fuel spilling everywhere, and I was getting bathed in fuel. So one of our guys was trying to get me out, and I didn't want to get out. I said, no way, I'm not staying here. And which obviously he was looking after me after we got it, they kind of buckled me back in and whatever, but I had no radios and whatever, so it was just not too good.
Well, it appeared that you were out of the race, and you got a tremendous ovation when you went back in. It looked like it would have been a great story if you'd been able to pull it off anyway.
Yeah. Well, we gave it a shot, and we're just going to have to wait one more year and try and do it again next year.
Well, from your vantage point now, I mean, when you went in this morning, everybody was talking about there's so many rookies in the field and all this kind of stuff. I mean, did you have concerns going in this morning? Or?
Not really, because, I mean, you always have concerns about the start of, especially the start of the Indy 500, because everybody's under a lot of pressure and whatever. But I think the fact that we all talked about it so much, and there was so much talk of all the rookies and whatever, that I was pretty sure that we were all going to take a little bit of extra care, and it ended up being the case. So I really wasn't too concerned.
And as the race wore on, I mean, it was entertaining for us to watch. Was it entertaining from where you were?
Oh, it was fun. I was having a blast. It was a fun race, and we were working okay with the strategy, and everything was working just fine. So,
well, we're sorry that you didn't win. We're sorry that you had an accident, but you did get fifth, and you're smiling, and you're such a gentleman, and thank you very much indeed for coming by under these circumstances.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. And a cheer from the crowd, just as if he had won the race. But Roberto Guerrero, a very, very popular veteran, and we thank you for coming by. All right, we put ourselves behind a little bit. Let's take a short break here, and we'll be back and maybe try some more interviews, take a few more calls on the extended version of the Talk of Gasoline Alley.
Car number 12, a solid red streak, Buzz Calkins at the helm. 2:30, put him in the fourth row. We wish him the best for his ride at the Speedway show. He'll make it all worthwhile after 500 miles. Buzz Calkins, the driver.
This Saturday's Hoosier Lotto jackpot is an estimated $10 million. The Hoosier Lottery, giving you the green.
The Hoosier Lottery gives you the green. Buzz Calkins, keep on winning, never be forgotten.
Another one in the books, 65 degrees, cloudy skies in Indianapolis. I'm Joe Wambach. This is the 3:30 Report. Buddy Lazier has captured the 80th Indy 500. He held off Davy Jones as the race ended with a one-lap green flag. There had been three previous laps under yellow before the sprint to the end. Lazier finished 7/10 of a second ahead of Jones. In the winner's circle, Lazier was asked when he began to dream about winning the Indy 500.
Before I can remember, it still feels like a dream. It feels like I'm going to wake up and I need to go to the racetrack to get ready to race.
As Lazier was crossing the finish line, Roberto Guerrero, Eliseo Salazar and Alessandro Zampedri were involved in a crash in turn four. Zampedri's car actually flew over Salazar's head during the pileup. A dozen cars banged up at the U.S. 500 in Michigan. It appears the cars of pole sitter Jimmy Vassar and Adrian Fernandez touched on the fourth turn as the cars revved up for the start and started a chain reaction of collisions. Since the green flag to start the race had not come out yet, drivers involved were allowed to switch to their backup cars. Rescue workers have found the cockpit voice recorder of Value Jet Flight 592. A spokesman for the NTSB says the recorder is being sent to Washington for analysis. Mike Benson says the crucial piece of evidence was found by a homicide sergeant searching the murky waters of the Florida Everglades. Three people were critically wounded as a result of an early morning drive-by shooting. They were reportedly attending a graduation party in the 5600 block of Greenfield Avenue when an argument broke out and shots were fired. Wounded were 19-year-old Jason Hornsby and Alan Hodges and Scott Ford, both 20 years old. Ford's condition has now been upgraded to satisfactory. No arrests have been made, but police say they have the names of suspects. Arson suspected in an early morning fire in a vacant unit at the John Barton Apartments on Massachusetts. This unidentified fourth-floor resident who was evacuated says someone woke her and told her to get out.
One of the guards brought me down, brought all of us in. Who come out? If they didn't do it again.
One resident says it was the third fire alarm in 6 hours. Israeli voters now have a better idea of where the candidates for the prime minister stand. Incumbent Shimon Peres and challenger Benjamin Netanyahu engaged in a 30-minute televised debate today, 3 days before the election. And with WIBC traffic, here's Big John Gillis.
Sure, no major problems, but here's some food for thought. 550. 550, that's how many Vipers not associated with officially with the race were inside the track today. They, like everyone else, all want to go home right now. I rather bet, knowing those folks, they're going to sit just a bit, maybe talk to each other, have a designated driver and do a little party, and then move on out. That's the trick. Everybody's trying to leave at once. We'll all eventually get there. There are no major obstacles along your way. Big John Gillis, WIBC Traffic.
The WIBC three-day forecast, mostly cloudy the rest of the afternoon. Chance of thunderstorms, high of 70. Tonight, thunderstorms likely mainly after midnight, low 58. Memorial Day, occasional showers and thunderstorms, high 72. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high of 76. At your official weather station, cloudy skies, 65 degrees, humidity 84%. Winds out of the east at 5, barometric pressure 29.91 and falling. Repeating the hour's top story, another Indy 500 is in the books. Buddy Lazier, the winner. I'm Joe Wambach, WIBC News. Next news at 4 o'clock.
You're listening to the post-race edition of The Talk of Gasoline Alley on WIBC. We'll be right back and take some calls and maybe a couple of interviews right after this.
Hey, race fans. Ed Sorensen here from WRTV6. Now, you may have listened to the race on the radio, but tonight you can see it from start to finish only on RTV6. Beginning at 7 o'clock, we will bring you ABC's complete race broadcast. Then, Ari Leyendijk and ABC's Paul Page join me for a special post-race show, where you'll also hear from the winner of this year's race. So, tonight at 7, watch the race. Then stay tuned for Trackside 6, Indy 500 wrap-up on WRTV6, the only place to see the race.
And now it's time to Ask Rosie with Rosie O'Donnell. Jen from Miami writes,
Dear Rosie, will your show be a fabulous mix of comedy, celebrity guests, live music, and more fun than daytime's ever seen? Yes. All that and no cholesterol.
And Kathleen from Modesto writes,
Dear Rosie, do you have to be smart to watch your new show? No, Kathleen, you don't have to be smart. You just have to be home.
Finally, something different in the daytime. The Rosie O'Donnell Show, coming to television June 10th.
The Rosie O'Donnell Show, premiering June 10th on WRTV6. Put summer on sale like Northwest. Up to 45% off select fares all across the U.S. and Canada.
So bring friends 45% closer. See 45% more sights. Enjoy summer 45% more. Buy your tickets by May 28th. Finish flying by October 8th, 1996. A 14-day advance purchase is required. Call your travel agent or Northwest Airlines at 1-800-225-2525. Hurry, sale ends May 28th.
Well, some people just know how to fly.
Discount is off regular 14 or 21-day advance purchase fares depending on destination. Other restrictions apply.
Auténtica comida Tex-Mex, como fajitas calientitas, ricas enchiladas, chiles rellenos y más, venga a Don Pablo's. Don
hey, Pablo's. We realize most of you listening may not speak Spanish. That's okay. Just come on into Don Pablo's. You'll understand. You see, Don Pablo's uses authentic 50-year-old Tex-Mex recipes that originated down in San Angelo, Texas. Try the marinated beef, chicken, or shrimp fajitas. Maybe the steak tampico topped with a mesquite grill poblano pepper. Or one of Don Pablo's delicious chicken or beef enchilada dishes. And while you're at it, kick back with a nice frozen margarita.
Exquisitos, por supuesto, la comida Tex-Mex.
So even though you may not know the language, once you visit Don Pablo's, you will know what authentic Tex-Mex food is all about.
Y una gran fiesta Tex-Mex, Don Pablo's, la auténtica enchilada.
That's the real enchilada. Well, you knew that.
We're back with the talk of Gasoline Alley, and Bob Lamy has just joined us after his track down from turn four. Did you get a cart, or did you have to walk down?
No, but it was the easiest come down from four back here that we've ever had.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, we stayed up there maybe a little longer than normal, and the trek back was easy. But one of the true tests of what this thing is like, Donald, is at the end of the race. And I didn't have a chance to do it right at the end of the race, but later, looking down Georgetown Road,
yes,
sea of humanity.
Yeah,
it is the same as always.
Great.
And it was incredible. And you mentioned the fans several times during when Guerrero had the problem in the pits, came back out on the track, all the way through three and four. I know for sure, people were standing, applauding, cheering. They're great people.
Yeah.
And the same folks that are down below us, they moved my booth maybe 10 yards closer toward the start-finish line. So I wasn't sitting above the same people, but the guys who were normally below us were there again at 14 hours from Montreal down here.
Uh-huh.
And they were here and having a great time, and they're going home tonight and then coming back tomorrow. Or
now,
next year.
You say that the event wasn't that eventful for you up in turn four.
What I'm saying is for us in turn four, it was so clean.
Uh-huh.
So until the last 10 seconds, accident-free, nothing. We had the Ungaya spin early. That was it. The only other thing of any note was how low guys were going through four with the wheels under the white line and down close to the grass. But I didn't see any grass come up. Nobody was in trouble until Guerrero. And I'm getting in late on this. You'd already interviewed Roberto before I got here. Did he say what happened in four?
I don't think he really did. No, I didn't. I offered him the fact that he might have been pinched, but he didn't say anything.
I caught him spinning. And that's one of those things. You can't let up for a second, because when you least expect it, something happens. And the fact that Sam Pedri and Salazar are not injured,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, that was a major accident for Sam Pedri.
Yes. And into the catch fence, like, right down below us and maybe two strands of fence to our right, and that's torn away in a couple of areas, but the fact that he seems to be fine is incredible, and a tribute to what's going on. Again, I cannot emphasize enough how quickly those safety vehicles were there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were there, and it was like, at first I thought they were involved somehow, and they got there so quick, and again, they take their time, they do the job, they do it right, and maybe that's why the injuries were so minute. I mean, comparatively speaking, a broken leg is not minute, don't misunderstand, but the fact...
It could have been
major. When you see that accident tonight, and
yeah.
I hadn't planned on it, but I'm staying up because I am amazed at the results.
Any closing thoughts?
Great race. So much for the theory that the rookies can't drive.
Did you know that there was an accident at the pace stop up in
Michigan? I sure did.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what surprises me, and maybe, Donald, you know more about racing than I do by a long stretch. Started them all over again in their backup cars?
All but one, apparently. That's the way they do things. That's the Formula One syndrome. If you crash one, you get another one, and you start in the same position, even. They don't even put him to the back. But that's the way they do things.
I don't know. I was just... The rain, Scott Brayton, that's the negatives. Everything
yes.
else was a positive. I mean, we had great speeds, great qualifying days. Typical, a little downtime from time to time, but great. And the race today, I enjoyed it. And what I meant about four, I mean, Chris Poley and I, Chris doing the spotting for me, we enjoyed the heck out of the race because we could watch it. There was, until the very last, there was nothing happening in four. Then all of a sudden there was too much activity, but again, everybody seems to be okay, and that's great. And I think I heard Lynn St. James is fine. They just took her down for x-rays.
Yeah, she had some contusions, I think, and they just wanted to get her checked. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Well, thank you
another
for
a good month. Yeah.
Thank you for a great month. I really enjoyed the qualifications and
you know what I'm most pleased about?
What's that?
That you and I did not have to work this morning. What did we start? 10 minutes late, maybe?
Yes, I think it was 10 minutes later.
Another tribute to this place, getting this track dry and getting it ready to go.
You know, there were several times during the race I wondered whether there was rain coming, and I really wanted to see the thing run to completion, and I knew that you didn't want to come back tomorrow.
Nobody wanted to. I don't think anybody wants to come back tomorrow, especially when you can get the thing started, and they did, and, you know, I'm glad they had finished on green. Sorry for the three guys at the end they finished on green, but still, that's the way to do it, I think. They had the opportunity, got it cleaned up, let's go.
Okay, Bob, thank you. Looking forward to next year.
Me too.
Thanks for another.
Is that next month?
Be all right with me. Okay, that was Bob Lamy, and let's go to the phones, and Laura, go ahead, please.
Hi. Well, I've been cheering for Buzz Calkins ever since I found out he was a history major.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked your column on that. And so I was wondering if any of the other drivers had backgrounds that you wouldn't really associate with auto racing.
Well, Bobby Rahal was a history major as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll cheer for him, too, if he comes back here, then.
I'd have to think about some of these other fellows and what their interests are. Nothing is striking me at the moment, but they do come from very interesting, diversified backgrounds. Well, Brad Murphy was a Bronco Buster when he was in high school. How's that? That's a little different. And when he speaks, he doesn't seem to have an American accent. It sounds like it might be... it's very, very similar to Jim Crawford, and yet he was born and raised in Tucson, Arizona. But as far as some of the other interesting backgrounds, I'd have to give that some thought, I guess, and maybe do that a little later.
All right, well, we'll find out next year.
All right, then.
Thank you.
We thank you very much indeed for the call, and now let's check in with Big John Gillis at traffic.
Donald, that's how long I would listen to hear an answer to a question, and that is until next year. And I'm awfully glad
thank you,
here together again this year. Actually, right now, on the way out of the track, you're not going to have too much trouble. There is a bit of a problem around, Brookville and the German Church. You might watch that. And, of course, right around the track, when I say there's not too much trouble, I mean everything is creeping. Everybody who took hours to get in this morning would like to go home at once. Just creep carefully, please. We don't have any... thing totally blocked by an accident. Let's keep it that way. Big John Gillis, WIBC Traffic.
After the 500, watch Indy TV's race recap show tonight at 7. Then Monday, watch the Indianapolis 500 Victory Banquet and Awards Ceremony, only on Indy TV Channel 23.
What's that noise? Where's the music coming from?
We're Xing out the prices for H.H. Gregg's Memorial Day sale?
Mm-hmm. For savings they'll never forget.
What kind of savings?
Can't say.
You mean the prices are so low we can't even advertise them?
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Look at that crowd. I thought everybody was off to the races.
Racing around H.H. Gregg.
How low can you go? How low can you go?
Well, today and tomorrow, we've made our low prices even lower at H.H. Gregg. So you get instant rebates on the spot on great name brand PCs, appliances, home, and car electronics.
How low can you go?
That's the biggest conga line I've ever seen.
The greatest spectacle in raving.
About what?
The savings, you fool.
How low can you go?
We've X'd out the prices. You get instant rebates today and tomorrow at H.H. Gregg.
All around Indianapolis, people are talking about an extraordinary hospital.
You're what?
I'm going to have a baby.
Oh, that's wonderful. You and Rob must be thrilled.
Yes, we are.
Have you decided which hospital you're going to?
I found a hospital where my obstetrician is part of Indiana University.
Oh, that's great.
It's got new OB facilities, a nursery for babies who need special care. Plus, you'll love this, it has absolutely gorgeous labor, delivery, recovery, and postpartum rooms.
Do I know about this hospital?
Sure you do. It's the new Wishard.
Oh.
For leading-edge obstetrics, the word around town is the new facilities and experienced doctors and nurses of the new Wishard Health Services.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
I'm going to name her after you, sis.
Oh, really?
For more information on having your baby at the new Wishard, call us at 655-2255. The new Wishard Health Services, the heart and science of health and healing.
Take your car in for an oil change at some other place, and you never know what to expect. And changing the oil yourself can turn out to be more than you bargained for.
That's for sure.
Bring your car to IndyLube for a complete full-service oil change with Pennzoil. Pennzoil works like liquid ball bearings. At IndyLube, we'll not only change the oil and filter, we'll check, inspect,
check,
fill, sweep. We'll even do the windows. So whatever you drive, bring it to IndyLube for professional service with quality products like Pennzoil. You never need an appointment, and we offer free fluid refills between oil changes. And at IndyLube, we offer many other services too, like changing transmission fluid and other vital fluids, installing new wiper blades. Why, we even change headlights. With locations throughout central Indiana, there's an IndyLube near you. Stop in today. IndyLube. Good for a change.
1070 WIPC.
This is the talk of Gasoline Alley from the garage area at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Let's check in with Joe Wambach with a look at what's coming up at 4 o'clock.
Thanks, Donald. We'll, of course, be talking about the race and a big break in the search for clues in the crash of the Value jet plane in Florida. Details of these stories and more coming up at 4 o'clock, Donald.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Let's go back to the phones. And, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, Brown.
Yes, sir.
I was keeping the scorecard up from the radio, and what was the number of yellows and the total elapsed time of the race?
Total yellows, I can't tell you. I think it was 8, and the elapsed time of the race was, I don't think I've got that one here either. I've got yes, I do. Wait a minute. It was, this is unofficial, 3 hours, 22 minutes, 45.753 seconds.
The IRL champ is Gus Sharp?
I believe that's so. They were figuring that out just as we left the air, and I had to run to come down and do this, so I didn't catch that.
You guys interviewed Rick Gallus, and it's surprising that he's not up at Michigan.
Rick Gallus was here?
Yeah, and...
I didn't realize that.
Will CART censor him for being here? But will he be forced out of CART?
No, he got permission to come down here and run, which is rather nice, as did Derek Walker. I don't know who else could or could not have, but those are the two that came. And
Andy Evans, Dick Simon.
Well, yeah, but that's not really quite the same thing, I don't think.
Yeah, the thing with me, you know, is I've recently read the federal lawsuit with A.J. Foyt.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what the difference is between the treatment A.J. Foyt received and the treatment Rick Gallus received with CART.
Oh, well, the difference is that Foyt had his franchise revoked. I don't know whether people realize that. They've got 25 car are franchised, and they pay a huge amount of money. It's like $300,000 or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you get so much, if it's not that much, it's not far from it. And then you get so much for every race that you show up. And if you're not part of that group, then you don't get it. And so Foyt was a franchise holder, and they yanked his franchise, and they could do anything they want to, you see. But Rick Gallus went about it another way, and sort of got permission from them to come down here and run, which is very nice. And Derek Walker was able to do the same thing. They fielded a car, one here, one there.
Yeah. And then I mentioned Scott Sharp. You guys were talking about background. Scott Sharp was still studying economics and business when he was racing SCCA and IMSA back in the early 80s.
We've talked with Scott several times, and he's a delightful young fellow. His father was a driver, Bob Sharp.
And involved with Paul Newman.
And absolutely. And then also his father-in-law is Greg Pickett, and also a Trans Am driver.
And when I was a young kid, I used to deliver newspapers out to A.J. Watson's.
On Crawfordsville Road?
Yeah, and up to George McNaughty.
Oh, yes.
The really ancient old mechanics. Maybe next year we'll have a different kind of car. Maybe they can do something about these pit fires.
Those are my heroes. I think A.J. Watson, earlier in the month, I saw him walking around, and I think he was part of the John Paul Jr. team.
Consulting engineer?
He's something like that, I believe, yes.
Maybe next year with the redesign of the cars, we can have a something done about these pit fires. The refueling fires are becoming too common. That's too much for the team members to be exposed to injury.
I don't know that that's any major thing over what it might have been in the past. I think there was... I can only think of Guerrero's today. Was there another one today? I can only think of Guerrero's.
Jim Guthrie?
Oh, Guthrie. Well, that was probably something a little different. I didn't know that he had a pit fire. I don't think he had a pit fire while making a pit stop.
Yeah, he came in on fire. We're always going to have this as long as you've got the turbo with all the heat and the alcohol.
Well, no turbos next year, but I think it's a case of fuel spilling onto maybe the engine or something hot that's sticking out, which I guess could be the turbo. But let's straighten something on Jim Guthrie. I don't believe that there was a pit fire there. Jim Guthrie came in with a major problem and some fire coming out of the rear end of the car. But that was, I mean, he arrived that way. That wasn't spillage of fuel. Okay? All right, okay. Well, apparently he's... all right, 571-WIBC is the number to call. It is 1-800-571-WIBC. And we now go to John Gillis with an update on traffic.
We do have a bit of a problem on I-70 out west of Harding and over toward Holton. Actually, it's over Hannah, which really comes up closer to 465. I'd watch it both directions there. We're still sorting out some details. Otherwise, extremely heavy traffic leaving the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Go figure. Great race. And stay tuned. There's plenty to come. Plus, of course, we'll be here tomorrow morning with Jeff Pigeon and the morning team, and tomorrow night to help you really get home as you head out of the weekend. Big John Gillis, WIBC Race Day Traffic.
Keeping track of my family's prescriptions sometimes gets confusing.
Got questions about medications?
Should my husband take his blood pressure medicine with food? Could there be side effects with my son's allergy medicine? Good thing my Osco pharmacist is there.
Count on Osco to give you a detailed printout with each prescription we fill, spelling out your medicine's most common usage, how to take it, and any possible side effects. If there's anything you're still unsure of, just ask your Osco pharmacist or check the more than 50 healthcare brochures at your Osco Health Awareness Center. And remember, you can speak directly to a pharmacist anytime on Osco's 24-hour hotline. Call 1-800-654-OSCO.
It's nice having someone there to help.
Good news. Now you can get Rogaine, the topical hair regrowth treatment at Osco without a prescription. It's one more reason to count on the people who care at Osco.
Hey, it's Miller and Barber.
Psst, Robin.
What do we get a racing for, man?
JB, off-track betting's legal here now.
Oh,
you go right
okay.
downtown to the Indy News at 121 South Pennsylvania. You can go to the Southside News, or you can go to the news store, 38th Street and Midhoffer, the 38th Street News, because you can buy racing forums. Sports Illustrated, Sports Magazine, Inside Sports. Of course, they got more than sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Paul Groves dynasty also has lottery tickets and fine cigars and a full line of tobacco products and paperback books.
But what I really like about the Indy News is you can ask little Clara for racing tips. She's very schooled in the arts of picking horses and handicapping. Concetta's really good for NFL football tips. And Paul, his specialty is golf, but you can't bet golf at the Sports Spectrum, so it don't matter. What else you got to know is they're open at 6 a.m. every day, so you can get that racing form early, and they're open 7 days a week.
Three terrific locations, corner of Stop 11 and Madison, 121 South Pennsylvania, and 38th and Midhoffer. All stores open 6 a.m. 7 days a week.
When high school seniors get into college, they can respond in a way that reflects their intelligence.
All right!
And as parents, you can express how pleased you are to be paying for it. So here's some education about college loans. Lenders who work with Sallie Mae, the leading source of money for college loans, can offer you the lowest cost loans nationally available. In fact, they can cost up to 8% less to pay back. Coming to a Sallie Mae lender is like a graduation present 4 years in advance. Because then when it's time to pay back, instead of hearing, you'll hear, Chase Manhattan Bank is a Sallie Mae lender in your area. For information or an application, call toll-free 1-888-22-LOANS. That's toll-free 1-888-22-LOANS. This message has been brought to you by Sallie Mae, helping make education possible.
We've dropped the green flag on big money-saving offers at your Indiana Ford dealer. In the pole position at just $212 a month is the all-new 96 Ford Taurus with more comfort, safety, and convenience features than last year's model. That's just $212 a month for a 96 Taurus, America's best-selling car. Race into your Indiana Ford dealer today, because at just $212 a month, these Tauruses will be moving fast. Your Indiana Ford dealer is the one to see for all the details, or see Sunday's ad in the Indianapolis Star.
WIBC.
We hope you're enjoying this weekend. Miller and Barber for WIBC Sports Talk. Man, you got to join us Monday night.
We'll wrap up the Indy 500, the U.S. 500. Take your phone calls and do some arguing.
The news and talk of the Indy 500. Radio Indiana. WIBC, Indianapolis.
What a race. 65 degrees, cloudy skies in Indianapolis. I'm Joe Wambach. This is the 4 o'clock report. It was a close finish, but the man who crossed the finish line first at the 80th Indy 500 was Buddy Lazier, who wedged out Baby Jones by just 7/10 of a second.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Is it sunk in yet? You're awfully low-key right now. One would think you'd be really genuinely excited, and you're just kind of standing here with a big smile.
No, it hasn't sunk in. It's not going to sink in for, I'm sure, a week or two. It's unbelievable.
Buddy Lazier, the winner. Richie Hearn finishes third, then Alessandro Zampedri, Roberto Guerrero, Alessio Salazar, Danny Ungayas, Adisha Matsuda, Robbie Buell, and Scott Sharp rounding out the top 10 finishers. The race marred by a crash on turn four just as Lazier crossed the finish line, but no life-threatening injuries. Meanwhile, the start of the USA 500 in Michigan was delayed by a 12-car pileup on the final pace lap. It appears federal investigators have found the cockpit voice recorder from ValueJet Flight 592. That's according to CNN. The recorder is a key piece of evidence because it could tell investigators what happened in the final moments before the plane crashed in Florida on May 11th. Meanwhile, investigators have turned their attention to a possible fire on the plane. ABC's Peter Deutsch with that story in Miami.
Lead investigator Gregory Feist says a great deal of smoke and soot has been found on interior cabin pieces, as well as the rest of the tires and sections supporting the floor. But so far, Feist has seen no evidence of a fire burning through the steering cables. A television station here in Miami had reported that the fire severed those cables, disabling the plane. Feist also said 35 to 40% of the ValueJet DC-9 has been recovered.
ABC's Peter Deutsch. The end of a General Motors strike in Ohio has given Kokomo's economy a boost. The boom is thanks to a rebound after GM plants in Kokomo had to shut down in March during a strike at an Ohio plant. When the workers returned, they had a lot of catching up to do and are now working a lot of overtime. Indianapolis police have the names of suspects they want to talk to in an East Side drive-by shooting.
The shooting happened early Sunday morning at a graduation party being held in the 5600 block of Greenfield Avenue. 19-year-old Jason Hornsby and 20-year-olds Alan Hodges and Scott Ford were shot and were initially listed in critical condition. Ford's condition has been upgraded to satisfactory. Indianapolis police say during the party there was an argument and then a struggle for a gun. Several of the party guests left, then returned a few minutes later, and shots were fired from their car into the crowd on the front porch. Sharon Alseth, WIBC News.
The Navy's in trouble and there's plenty of blame to go around. Former Navy Secretary John Layman said on the ABC their turmoil and low morale are the result of a press that's too focused on the minor faults of senior officers and the White House's insistence on political correctness. Respect for life. David Kaczynski says that's why he blew the whistle on his brother Theodore, who was suspected of being the Unabomber. He told the New York Times the idea that his brother could be the terrorist came to him after he read the Unabomber's 35,000-word manifesto. Cloudy skies, 65 degrees. WIBC News Time, 4:03. Traffic and weather coming up.
Got your phone bill, huh? Yeah. I really wish there was someone who truly understood data communications. Someone who could come out, show me some flexibility in a local phone service. if there was only an alternative, someone else to consider.
There is.
Yeah, right.
There is. TCG.
TC what?
TCG, the other local phone company. They're easy to do business with, user-friendly, and dependable, too. TCG features a state-of-the-art all-fiber network that's monitored 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. More reliability with significant savings over what we're paying now. Makes sense, huh?
Yeah, TCG seems like a definite business alternative to me. Get someone out here in the morning. Maybe we can say hello to TCG and goodbye to these guys.
Gee, I just can't believe it. There is an alternative. Talk to TCG, the other local phone company, at 1-800-500-9TCG. That's 1-800-500-9TCG.
Never gets held up at the printing press. Breaking news, live on 1070 WIBC.
With WIBC traffic, here's Big John Gillis.
Gillis, a lot of people celebrate Buddy Lazier's victory. Other people learn his name. Designated drivers heading home, having the best job of the day, but a slow one. People on the bus and a cabs getting out a little bit faster. Everywhere around the speedway is jammed up, and there is a problem on 70 both directions over near 465. Once you get there and past it, you'll be all right. Thank you for being here now. Big John Gillis, WIBC Race Day Traffic.
The WIBC three-day forecast tonight. Occasional thunderstorms, heavy rain possible, a low of 58. Memorial Day tomorrow, occasional thunderstorms, high around 70. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of thunderstorms, high 74. Wednesday, chance of thundershowers and a high of 75. At your official weather station, cloudy, 65 degrees, humidity 84%. Winds out of the east at 5, barometric pressure 29.91 and falling. Repeating the hour's top story, Buddy Lazier wins the 1996 Indy 500. I'm Joe Wambach, WIBC News, next news at 4:30.
We're back with the talk of Gasoline Alley, and we're joined by Robbie Buell, who finished in ninth place, and Robbie had asked to look at the list of results. You were really studying that. You hadn't had a chance to see who did what to whom?
No, I haven't seen any of that yet. I mean...
You want to keep on looking here?
No, that's okay. I'll study it later tonight or tomorrow, that's for sure.
Anything surprise you there? So you were looking up and down the results?
No, I was just, you know, I was trying to gauge who had led in this race and just kind of... Well, it's sorted out, because when you're out there racing, you really don't know what else is going on the track. You really don't.
Well, but as far as what is around you, maybe you can give us an eyewitness account. I mean, was there anything major that happened in front of you today?
Nothing in front of us. You know, this is the first time that I've raced here. I was a rookie going into here. I've raced a lot. I've raced on mile ovals. I've spent a lot of time in Indy cars and Indy lights, but I'd never run on a super speedway. So for me, it was really a big learning experience out there. I knew it would be a learning experience. The first half of the race, learn. The second half of the race, race. Unfortunately, I was still learning the second half. And you're always learning, but, you know, we just kept our nose clean. Greg Beck and his team, Beck Motorsports, in the Coors car. You know, we just kept our nose clean, and we finished in the top 10. From a driver's standpoint, I would have liked to have been a little bit more in the race the second half of that. But... you know, experience. I got that today. It was my inexperience that kept us from doing better, I believe. And I'm looking forward to coming back here next year with having a year under my belt.
Well, you were probably feeling your way. I know that they talked to you a great deal during the private drivers meetings about turbulence. And apparently, and in fact, I think I heard the interview with Mark Dismore that said that now he knows what they're talking about, because apparently it caught him unaware at some point. Was it bad for you at the start?
It actually wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. You know, I had kind of built it up to give myself a big, big cushion and really expect the worst in terms of turbulence and methanol and dust. But we had kind of gapped ourselves pretty well. I mean, I had it pretty clear in my head. I said, hey, I'm going to get through this first lap no matter what it takes. And it all went pretty smoothly. But just in terms of race conditions and traffic throughout the race, knowing what setup I wanted in my car was all part of the learning experience for me. And we were pretty conservative, probably too conservative throughout the first half of the race. And you know, you live and learn. And but the bottom line is, both Hadeshi and myself both finished in the top 10 for Greg Beck and his team, and I think that's important.
Okay, did he in fact get by you? Because I think somebody told me that you were seventh with just like five laps to go.
Yeah, we actually ended up ninth. Tedeschi got me right at the line there when that the yellow actually kind of come out, but I'm not sure what transpired. I'm not going to worry about it either way.
Well, you still got the uniform on. I mean, some people, they can't change too quickly, and it's an hour after the race is over, and you're just soaking it up, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about soaking it up, but we had to go make a stop by the Coors tent and by the Firestone tent, and as soon as I get back over to my garage across from here, I will be changing, yeah.
Okay, when you went into those two tents, was there a cheer from the people when you went
absolutely.
In?
Oh, absolutely. From the Coors people, they've been really supportive to us all month, and so that was, we had to have a Coors beer with them, obviously, and then going into the Firestone tent with Buddy Lazier winning the race on Firestones, and with Greg Beck's cars finishing in the top 10 as well, both on Firestone tires. They're pretty excited, and they have the other race on up in Michigan right now, where I guess Firestone's leading that race. So they're all really excited there.
With all the things that have been said this month and the way that the crowds were down, we have to think that weather was part of it. When you came in this morning, it looked a little dismal, but as the morning wore on, it was more like race day. What was it like to be taking the to be getting ready to start and maybe taking the parade laps and just seeing that the grandstands were jammed full?
Yeah, well, you know, any reservations that I had between, you know, this IRL cart wars and all that is I was in the Orlando and Phoenix race as well, and both of those went a lot better than I thought they would, and the qualifying here went really well. So I mean that was behind in terms of my thoughts, but it was actually kind of fun this morning. I'm living at a buddy of mine's house about a mile from here, so I walked into the track this morning.
Did you? Uh-huh.
About 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, when a lot of people were walking in. So that was kind of fun, just to see the people walking in. I mean, you know, sure that, you know, they're saying maybe the crowds were down a little bit, but this morning when I was walking in, there was plenty of people. I was smelling plenty of grills and burgers at 9 a.m. that really didn't smell too good.
Joint was packed. In fact, you brought up an interesting point there, where I've always been interested in how the drivers come to the track. And as you were walking in this morning, did anybody recognize you?
Not till we got into here. As soon as we up until that point, when I was walking outside, we were just kind of walking pretty fast, just had my jacket on, just blended in with everybody else. But, you know, then once we got closer to the motorhomes and actually kind of got into the infield, yeah.
So I've always been fascinated by that too, and amused when I've seen that happen. I thought, look, there's all these thousands of fans, and here's a driver, and in fact one that will end up in the top 10, and they have no idea that he's in their midst.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you very much,
sure.
Pete, for coming by, and you know, we congratulate you on your fine effort with Greg Beck, because he does a lot with little.
Yes, he does.
And we appreciate you coming by and spending a few minutes with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I had a good month. It was nice meeting you.
The fans are waiting here for your autographs.
Yes, they are.
Okay. That's Robbie Buell, ninth place finisher in the Indianapolis 500. And now, let's go back to the phones. And Norm, go ahead, please.
Hey, Donald.
Yes, Norm.
Yes, congratulations on a good call today. Network and WIBC did a great job.
It was a lot of fun to be on it.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here at home listening to you and watch this thing that takes place up in Michigan. And I hope you got a good recording of that, because I don't think you'll see some of the fiasco of the tape, you know, that they put out.
Well, all we heard about was the start, the pace lap, rather.
I tell you, one of the things, I think the so-called professional experts had a little humility afterwards when they interviewed them. They seemed to realize that couldn't come out with the sarcasm and everything that they had been putting forth beforehand. And also, I hope you got or get a chance to see a tape of the restart, because they would have squawked all over the place if it had been so much out of line on the restart down here.
Well, we'll be very interested to
Vassar
to see
probably
that.
Vassar's probably got a 200-yard... Oh, they just had tremendous cray.
Oh, yeah.
But Vassar probably had a 200-yard leap on everybody else to start the race.
Uh-huh.
On the restart.
Okay, we'll be interested to see that.
Okay.
All right, we thank you very much indeed for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the phones, and Doug, go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Great day. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Buddy Lazier. And
isn't that great?
It was fantastic, especially what he went through right before Phoenix. And WIBC for the best coverage in racing. I mean, you can't ask for much better. And, of course, Tony George for putting on a great show. But, you know, I've been off the track several times this year, and, you know, there's been a lot of firsts, but nothing really seemed to change out there, it doesn't seem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in today's race, what would a race be with Danny without Danny Agias, at least spinning or something?
You know? But he ended up seventh. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. Yeah. And at one time, we saw that he was three laps down.
Yeah.
And he ended, I think he finished with down one lap. So.
No, he was three down at the end, but he got seventh.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, yeah. The TV was showing a separate, is showing him only one lap down. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, my question, you know, first of all, second of all, those people up and miss again, you know, they got a lot of crow to eat, the way I look at it. But with Salazar up here, what's his story? Has there ever been a driver that was involved in so many incidents finished a race?
I know of two. Well, I don't think he finished, did he? He got six.
No, actually, he didn't. He
didn't come across the line, but he got
300
six.
Yards short, maybe, but
yeah.
I didn't know if there was ever a driver that has actually been involved in so many incidents.